Penguin Random House Audio presents Sparkers by Eleanor Glevy. Read for you by Phoebe Stroll. Prologue. The first time I went to the Akkad by myself, I was 8 years old, and my father had just died. The Akkad, the biggest marketplace in Ashara, hummed with activity. Around the edge of the vast cobbled square, shopkeepers arranged their wares on rickety tables outside their stores. Young men trundled in and out of side streets, pushing carts piled high with sacks of flour or coal. Children dashed past me, cradling paper cones brimming with spiced nuts. The jangling of the coins Mother had given me made me nervous. I was afraid they would fall out of my pocket. But this was my first solo errand, and I was determined to carry it out. The thatched roof of the Akkad floated above me on spindly wooden posts. A river of shoppers swirled between the stalls. I slipped into the current and had soon purchased a cabbage, a bunch of carrots, and some chard. Feeling proud, I was on my way out of the Akkad when I noticed a pair of kassiri stalking through the crowd, silver police badges gleaming on their black uniforms. I froze, terrified they might shoot sparks of magic my way. Innocent or not, all Halani knew better than to catch the attention of the police. Once they had passed, I ran in the opposite direction until I found myself in an unfamiliar corner of the Akkad. I stopped to catch my breath. On the stall before me rose a mountain of books. I felt a pang. Father had been a lover of books. He had taught me to read when I was small, and on the weekends, he would take me exploring in bookstores in Halan neighborhoods. We could rarely afford to buy anything, even though by Halan standards he'd had a good job. He'd been the foreman in charge of the blast furnaces at one of Ashara's steelworks. Now, at the Akkad, I hugged the cabbage to my chest, grief squeezing my heart. 3 weeks earlier, there had been an explosion. As I stood in front of the teetering piles of books, an old woman peered around one of the stacks. She was small and bony, dressed in layer upon layer of faded clothing. Wisps of white hair drifted out from under her knit cap. Her eyes were light in a wrinkled face browned by the sun.
"Who might you be, little one?" she said.
"My name's Mara," I whispered.
"I'm called Tsipora," she said. "What sort of books do you like, Mara?"
I was too shy to answer. From the jumbled stacks, the bookseller picked out a volume bound in dove gray cloth. It was filled with stories. Turning the pages, I discovered woodcut illustrations of a sparkling pool, a mountain valley, and a caravan snaking across sand dunes. Cabbage, carrots, and chard were forgotten, along with Mother and Caleb, my little brother, waiting for me at home. The old woman handed me another book, and I skimmed the table of contents. To my delight, it was sprinkled with the names of faraway lands like Shana and Avlia. Tsipora selected still more books for me, somehow knowing which ones I would like. Glancing down at a thick tome on which I had set the cabbage, I noticed an unfamiliar script on the spine. I touched the flaking gold letters.
"What's this?"
"Ah," said Tsipora, pleased. "That's old Monarchic, the language of scholars in the days of Arazi. You know about the kingdom of Arazi?"
I had heard the name once or twice, but we hadn't yet learned about Arazi at school, so I shook my head.
"Shall I tell you a story?" the old bookseller asked.
I smiled.
"Yes, please."
"Well," she said, 500 years ago, before the city of Ashara was a sovereign state, all the Northlands were one country, the Kingdom of Arazi. It was a land thick with magic, known for its great magicians. Magicians? I said uneasily. I could tell Tsipora was a Halan like me, and as a rule, Halani distrusted magicians.
Not like the Kasiri of today, she said. The magicians of Erizai were powerful and wise. They had learned the secrets of magic from texts left behind by still older kingdoms. Like our Kasiri, they molded the magic with their hands and coaxed it with ancient incantations. But they also harnessed it by painting symbols on stone with pigments ground from cinnabar and azurite. They played music that the magic responded to like a snake to a charmer's flute.
I frowned. I didn't know you could do magic with music.
Do you like music? Tsipora asked.
I play the violin, I said. I just started, but it's my favorite thing to do.
After reading books, you mean?
She winked before continuing.
Erizai flourished for over 2 centuries, but then the cold times came. The summers grew shorter, and the winters longer until the crops failed each year. In winter time, snowstorms swallowed the royal roads and choked off whole cities. The kingdom could not withstand it, so Erizai fractured into city-states, Ashara, Tekova, Atsan, what we call the Northland now.
The chaos of the Ikhad seethed around us, but all I could hear was the old bookseller's voice. She told me how, after the fall of the monarchy, the city-states had relied on their magicians for survival. In Ashara, the Kasiri had cast spells to break up the ice on the Davkir River so boats with grain from the south could get through.
Those were the days, she said, when the Kasiri first set themselves over us Halani, who had no magic. She described how the cities slowly mastered the cold times, breeding hardier livestock and growing new crops adapted to the shorter growing season. In time, the cities reached out and established ties with one another again. And all across the Northlands, it was the magicians who governed.
And so it has been ever since, Tsipora said, her gaze inscrutable. To this day, the Kasiri rule Ashara.
Walking home from the Ikhad with mother's vegetables in my arms, I felt the lightest I had since father's death. I floated blindly past the newspaper sellers on the street corners and the smoking grills crowded with ears of roasting corn. In my mind's eye, I saw a barge heaped with golden grain nosing through jagged ice floes while, on the banks of the Davgir, Kasiri in black stretched out their hands and sent sparks cracking through the brilliant surface of the frozen river.
1. On a brisk morning in late autumn, I finish a shift at Tsipora's bookstall and start across the bustling Ikhad. The produce aisles are packed with Halan servants out shopping for their Kasir employers, baskets hooked on their arms. When they're not haggling with vendors, they chat with their friends, pulling their coarse woolen cloaks tight against the cold. A Kasir family in black tailor-made coats cuts a path through the crowd, their ivory buttons winking in the sunlight. I give them a wide berth. While navigating the crush, I keep tight hold of the book Tsipora let me borrow today. It's a volume on music history. Soon after I first met Tsipora 6 years ago, I started helping out at her stall in exchange for the privilege of treating her stock like a free library. Occasionally, I even earn a book to keep for my own. There's more room to breathe past the bakers and butchers and fishmongers. I linger in the artisan's aisle, enjoying the cheerful chaos of market day. I can't resist stopping at the luthier's stall and gazing at the glossy violins and the bows with mother-of-pearl accents. The luthier sits at a work...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?